Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, welcome to me, Sean Hughes. We're Under the Radar. Special guest is Adam Hills.
Hi.
Well, we know each other, but
we do, yeah.
Now, I saw you on Live at the Apollo. I'm going to admit to it. I watched that occasionally. You were very good. But, like, since you started doing The Last Leg as well,
yeah,
your comedy's got a little bit edgier, hasn't it?
Yeah, not intentionally. I'm not sure if it's since doing The Last Leg or it's since having children.
No, but it's just that thing of... because with The Last Leg, you're dealing with issues.
Yeah.
And your comedy used to never deal with issues.
Yes,
so
yeah.
So now I think you're kind of bringing that into your comedy.
A little bit, but even so, like, people find it a little bit strange when they come and see me on tour because my stand-up show isn't political at all.
But do you not put a little bit in there?
A tiny bit, but, like, yeah. I was in... I can't remember where I was, but someone tweeted to say, oh, there's a Tory councillor in tonight, you know, row G, yeah. seat 7, yeah. you know, take him apart, and I kind of... I was going through the tweets and I read it out on stage and said, I don't even know the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're...
Didn't even know if he was a guy.
Exactly. Yeah. It did say tear him apart, so I kind of took it as read. But I was like... And you could feel the audience go, no, but this is what you do. You shout at Tories. And I was thinking, no.
But you don't even do that on The Last Leg, anyway.
No, we shout at everyone that
don't.
I think deserves it.
You're not really a shouter.
It came about on The Last Leg. The first time... I can actually trace the origin of me being a little bit ranty.
Was that the Joan Rivers thing?
It was weirdly, it was the week before that. So it was the week before Oscar Pistorius had shot Reva Steenkamp on the Thursday.
Hey, that has not been proven, Adam.
No, it's been proven that he shot her. I think even he admits that much. It's just what led up to the shooting hasn't been proven. And because of our connection with the Paralympics, we thought, right, we've got to cover this. It happened on the Thursday morning. And we had this big back and forth of how do we cover it? How do we deal with it the right way? We don't want to make jokes about it. We don't want to trivialise it. And we thought, well, let's just be honest about it. And let's just say, look, this is terrible regardless of what's happened. And let's move on. But we had meeting after meeting after meeting with lawyers.
Of course. I knew you were going to say that.
Because you're live on air. Can't say this. You can't say that. Of course, it doesn't make any difference because there's no jury to influence in South Africa. And even if there was, they're not going to watch The Last Leg because it all went in front of a judge. But still, it was what you can and can't say.
That very old lady.
Sorry.
Yeah. She's going, can you get on with it? I'm actually 90.
Yeah.
Don't know if this can last any longer.
And I've now been swayed by what Alex Brooker said on The Last Leg.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to be... Anyway, so we had meeting after meeting after meeting.
You know, you see them sometimes at court getting those bits of paper and you go, what did Brooker say? He's going down, this guy.
So we had this really frustrating day, and then there was a story in the news that night, and it was about Prince William and Kate Middleton had been on honeymoon, I think, and she'd been photographed in a bikini whilst pregnant, and
how dare she?
This magazine had decided they were going to print them because it was in the public interest.
But is this not an English magazine?
No, it was an Australian magazine.
Because it's usually the Germans who do it, isn't it? There's that weird German kind of magazine. That
yeah, they kind of get away with it somehow. Yeah. No, it was an Australian magazine. And I'd written in a response to... I was really kind of... For some reason, I got quite wound up about it. And I think it was all the Oscar Pistorius stuff that we were holding back on.
Yeah.
And I just kind of let go at the editor of this magazine. And it was unscripted. It just kind of came out.
Right.
And then after that...
Which is a bit brave on a live show.
Yeah. Well, luckily, one of our... Okay, here's a secret. Our commissioning editor... I hope I don't get her into trouble for this. I don't think I will. After all these meetings with lawyers that had gone on for hours...
I love the fact that even though you're talking into a mic, you kind of went into that whisper. Look, we talked to a couple of lawyers.
I mean, come on, less people will listen to this part of the podcast if I whisper.
No, go on, tell me. It's just between us.
And the commissioning editor took me aside and said, listen, all of those meetings, we have to take you through those legal meetings. And I went, I know, I was like a grumpy kid, I know. She said, but you're live on air tonight. And once you're live on air, I can't stop you saying
anything.
Wow,
that's nice.
And she just...
That was the commissioning editor, or not the producer?
No, the commissioning editor.
Wow.
And then just kind of gave me a look that said, I trust you to say whatever you think is right. So after all of the Pistorius stuff...
So you did nothing about him, or did you?
We did. We covered him, and we said it was awful, and we decided we weren't going to do jokes about it, and we moved on. And then I think all of that tension built up, and then when I got to the... the bit about this editor saying, well, it's in the public interest to see photos of Kate Middleton pregnant in a bikini, I just, for the first time ever, dropped the F-bomb.
Really?
I read out her quote and I just went, oh, fuck off. And there was a real, like, you know, because that tension had built up in the room because of all of the stories.
Was also this the time where all the kind of, where the kind of, the likes of the Sun had to start pulling back on stuff like that anyway?
Yes, I think it was. Yeah, and it just, I don't know, I think just the idea of, you know, knowing that when you're pregnant, seeing my wife go through it and how insecure you get about way you look.
Do that story if you want, Adam. We all know you're just currying favour with the Brits. Come on, it's so obvious.
Well, listen, Australians can get knighthoods now.
Really?
So, yeah, it came in last year or the year before, I think.
What about Irish?
Oh, I don't think so.
I think Bob Geldof got something like NXBO or something like that.
Is he Sir Bob? Do we say Sir
Bob?
Yeah,
I think. Well, nobody. Like, that's the thing that annoys me about The Apprentice, where Alan Sugar insists people call him Sir Alan Sugar. I'm never going to fucking call him.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, Sir Alan. I'm just going to know.
Because there are people out there who are sirs and dames who say, oh, don't worry, but don't have to call me all the time. So, okay, I think that's a sign of character.
You're looking for the knighthood, yeah?
So I'm looking for the knighthood. So anyway, all of this kind of came out, and then the channel being the channel said, oh, that was great, you should do that every week. Come up with Adam's rant every week. And I was like, I know, I'm not going to. And then the next week, the Joan Rivers thing happened, where she had, and I'd been following Joan Rivers on Twitter because I was a fan.
Yeah.
And I'd noticed 3 or 4 really mean tweets about Adele, basically just fat jokes.
That's what she used to do, though. She used to slag off everyone, but she used to do it much more clever than that.
Yes, I think so. And I think I kind of looked at the tweets and went, oh, come on, you're better than that. Why just make a fat joke about someone who's just won, you know? And she's not. I think the thing about Adele, I think the thing about Joan Rivers is, she was always, you know, I don't like that word punching up because it's almost cliched now, but to describe comedy, that's what she was doing. She was on one level and she was looking up at the Hollywood stars like Elizabeth Taylor. And she could make a fat joke about Elizabeth Taylor because Elizabeth Taylor was the more powerful one and Joan Rivers was kind of down here just throwing those
but
punches
up. But also, like, do you know about, like, Joan Rivers' husband killed himself?
Yeah,
and stuff like that. Like, he's had a really rough old life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've seen that documentary about
it. So I think that would have probably affected the way she, you know, her outlook on life.
Oh, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. And you feel like an underdog and you feel like you're always, you know, fighting. And I understood that. But something about being, I mean, she's at the top of the tree now. And Adele, I don't know, it just felt like she was punching down. She was really needlessly making.
Oh, God, no. I think Adele would be on top of her even at the time.
But also,
well, I'm still glad you said the thing. You did.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the reason I said the thing is because it wasn't really even about Adele. It was about any girl who feels awkward about the way they look to think, you know, great, so I can win an Oscar and I'm still going to get fat jokes made about me.
I know, but it is that weird thing of, and it's been in the media quite a lot lately about this whole women slagging off women. Because I guess you expect men to slag off men. And for some reason they're going, well, you know, with feminism and stuff, why you should be protecting us. And I just think, well, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, that was the thing with Joan Rivers is that, you know she's had a lot of plastic surgery and she's talked about it in order to get ahead in the industry, in an industry where you are judged on your looks. And she's talked about how unfair it is that you're judged on your looks. But then to kind of keep that going by judging someone else on their looks.
I know, yeah. But
I don't know. To be honest, I don't even think I put that much thought into it.
But I think
it was just I got wound up.
But it is weird because Adele has lost a bit of weight as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. Has she?
Yeah. Okay. And I think it is society's way because of things like that. It's like, for instance, I was watching, like, you know, Guilty Pleasure, the final of I'm a Celebrity, which enjoy.
Right.
But you woman Charlotte who won it, and I was watching with a lady friend, and she just went, she's got very big teeth. You know, and it's just that thing that you're going, you know, society's not going to change. That's the way.
Yeah, right.
Men don't ever go, like, you know, oh, Adam's ears, they're quite big, aren't they? But women do that to each other.
Yeah. But almost in an okay way.
Well, yeah, it's more like, you know, it'll be to another girl, just kind of, have you seen?
Seen
what she's done with her makeup? That doesn't work.
So this lady friend of yours, then, is there any romance happening? Because
no,
I would have assumed not. Because
no, we just watch shit telly together.
Well, that's what I was going to, because the fact that she said that to you, means she kind of almost sees you as another girl that she can.
Well, I think a lot of people see me like that. To be fair, I'm hoping, you know, people see that side to me.
Really?
Well, I'm not a man's man. But so
are any comedians?
man's man.
Yeah, really.
I guess not.
I've wondered. I've always thought this that about especially male comedians. Anyway, you have to have a certain vulnerability and almost femininity about you. And I don't think any of us are alpha males.
Well, maybe Alan Carr.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he enters a room, he is clearly top dog.
Go on. I hope he doesn't punch me this time. But it's... congrats with the last leg. And it's been recommissioned to do loads more.
It has been, yeah. Yeah, so that... Yeah, so sorry, back to your original point. That kind of ranty thing...
Yeah.
It originally worked because that's not who I was. It was, you know, this fun, light show, and then suddenly I just got really quite angry about Joan Rivers. And then, of course, like I said, you know, then the channel want that to happen every week. And then I kind of said, no, you can't.
You can't force it.
No, you can't force it. And if you do it every week, it's going to become a bit, and then people aren't going to take you seriously. And weirdly, I've now moved on from it. I don't really get that wound up anymore about stuff.
But it is, like, it's a weird success where, like, obviously it was purely for the Paralympics.
Yes.
And see, this is the thing that I find it really funny, because it's your good self with your kind of leg issue, which you must be so tired. Every interview you do, people go, tell us about the leg.
No, I don't mind it, really. It was, because I didn't talk about
we'll do that in the second part, then. but it's the thing, so Alex Brooker, who's brilliant, but what was his background, then?
His background was he was a sports journalist. He had never done comedy, never been on TV. He was found as part of a talent search by Channel 4 to find disabled on-air talent.
That was great.
And the really great spot was a producer called Pete Thomas, who produced the first ever Last Leg during the 2012 Paralympics. Yeah. And he had already been working on the show. He and I got together with some ideas, and we sat down. There was a press launch, and all of those...
This is when no one else... It was just you at the time.
It was just me at the time.
Right.
And all of the disabled talent got up and did a bit, and I did a bit. And afterwards, Pete said to me, we went out for drinks with Alex, and he said, keep an eye on Alex. I want him on the last leg. I think... He said, I'm going to try and poach him away from the rest of Channel 4, because he's got a good, really good sense of humour.
Yeah, he is great.
On air.
And they never talk about it, but what is Josh's disability?
He's from Devon.
Oh, OK. Yeah. Right, OK. You've answered that one before. So then...
He was Channel 4 were already aware of him because he was on Stand Up for the Week.
Right.
And so they quite...
Which was a terrible programme.
Was it? I never saw it.
Yeah, it was awful.
Really?
Yeah. It was just that classic thing of, you know, which is one of my real big beard or whatever it is, but where it's kind of... where they let comics on telly for 3 minutes. You can't really express yourself for 3 minutes.
Well, I mean... And it was topical, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing with The Last Leg that was an accidental success, is that there was just a really lovely chemistry between us.
And it was very brave of them to do that, because on paper you go, well, watch these disabled people talk about the Paralympics. I don't think so.
Yeah, but the whole genesis of it was fat. So what originally
That's
happened,
what I mean. It was very, very brave commission.
It was an accident, in a way, as well, because...
Is there another six? I'll go with the secret.
So when I was asked to host The Last Leg, it was originally 2 hours from midnight on More 4. So it wasn't going to be on the main channel. And it was just me on my own presenting some highlights and throwing in some jokes.
Right.
And then after the press launch in front of all the media, I did 15 minutes of stand-up about the Paralympics, because I'd been in 2008 to Beijing, so I actually had stand-up about it. And then about...
Did you get a medal?
No, I didn't, no.
Did you come fourth?
Everyone's a winner at the Paralympics. So I did all this stand-up, and then about a week later my manager called back and went, right, Channel 4, having seen you do the stand-up and realising what you can make funny about the Paralympics, they now want it to be prime time. They want it to be 10:30.
Wow, that was a break.
So that was suddenly...
From a press conference?
Yeah, of all the things.
Well done, man.
And of course my first thought was, do I get paid extra? And he said, no, you've already signed the contract.
Well, then he said, I'm not doing it then. Play hardball. What sort of agent have you got? No, we're giving in straight away. Play hardball. Of course I'm doing it. Tell him I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that stand-up stuff.
I'm going to go back and talk to him.
So then
it was, okay, well, it's going to be me at 10:30 every night.
Right.
And then we...
I thought you said prime time.
Well, that's what they call prime time for some reason.
If you're still on Australian time, maybe.
All right, so it was 10:30 at night after the events had
finished. I'm in bed by then. it's nearly prime time. I'm off to bed.
that's what they told me it was. Yeah, all right. I realise my mistake now.
Yeah, because it's on earlier now, isn't it?
No, it's 10. It's 10 o'clock now.
That is earlier, Adam. Why are you?
Okay, yeah,
you went
right.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
10 o'clock is prime time.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, 9 o'clock. You get 9 till 10:30.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right. Fair enough. All right. So anyway. So it was just going to be me.
Right.
And then I kind of said, well, I think we need an audience if it's going to be... We need someone, you know, I need someone to bounce off, yeah. And then Alex was the guest on the first show.
So it was you for the first one?
It was just me. It was called The Last League with Adam Hills.
Okay.
Alex didn't come on until part two or three. Josh wasn't on the couch when the show started, I don't think. He came in as kind of a special comments. And then on day two... Channel 4 gave us a commissioning editor who came in and said, we've just seen the potential of this show. We think this could be great. We think it should be the three of you together.
What, for the second show?
For the second show.
God, they move fast.
So the first show wasn't even... The first show was just me with Josh and Alex as guests.
I think I remember that now.
And then the next day it was, no, it has to be the three of you. It should be the three of you.
And your first thing is, it still will be called The Last Leg for Adam Hills, though, yeah? Like, I don't mind sharing the time, and I will have my own desk, and they'll be slightly to the right. Did you insist on all that? Yeah?
They brought in a massive. So the two changes for day two were right. It's going to be Josh and Alex permanently with Adam, and we need a massive flat screen TV behind him. Those were the two changes that they made.
So what did you have behind you in the first show?
Like a tiny little student flat. Accommodation.
Okay. But look, I really admire them for the quickness of the decision.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's the one thing about Channel 4. They jump very quickly and they make decisions very quickly.
No, they don't, Adam. You were very lucky. You just speak to a load of people who've written scripts who 3 years down the line ago.
Oh, really?
Well, do you like it? Well, only if Josh and Adam are on the show as well. But anyway, so...
So it grew. So I don't think... The original idea, Channel 4 didn't say, right, we're going to put these three guys together, they're going to sit on the couch and they're going to cover the Paralympics. It grew organically, which is probably why it's worked, because you couldn't have pitched that if you'd
yeah,
said...
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
Exactly, three blokes with four legs talk about the Paralympics. I mean...
That's what I should have called it.
Three... some of the titles. We've read out some of the suggested titles, which included Dwarves Aren't Magic... Luck is the name of the show.
Right.
Mobility scooters are for fat people, and they all deserve a medal. Oh,
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner. Amputee and scones was the other one.
Okay. But so went through the whole Paralympics, and then it was supposed to finish.
It was supposed to finish, yeah. And I think halfway through the Paralympics, I had a meeting with Channel 4, and they said, look, we'd love to do more stuff with you and we don't know what. And then a few weeks after, I had a
meeting. They weren't saying, like, more Last Legs?
No, not at that point. They didn't really know what they wanted. And then maybe it was...
You just went, how about the Adam Hill show? How are you about that one?
Well, the funny thing is, so before the Paralympics all kicked off, I was at a Channel 4 dinner in Edinburgh and I was sitting next to Jay Hunt, who's the head of the channel.
Right.
And just in conversation, she said, so what kind of show would you like to do, Adam, one day? I said, well, kind of a talk show, but it's also vaguely topical where you kind of talk about what's going on in the world, but you have guests. And she went, oh, my God, if I had a pound for every comedian that told me that's the type of show they want to do.
$6,000.
Yeah. And she kind of looked at me like, that's what everyone wants to do. And I've reminded her since that is now the show that we've ended up doing. But it was... So the channel then about a month later said, look, we think The Last League, we think you three guys are great when you talk about anything together. So we think The Last Leg that talks about the news, we'll put it on every Friday night and we'll do it live because you were live during the Paralympics. And that.
But do you find, because like some weeks there's just not enough news though, is there?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is.
Yeah. No. Last week is the perfect example of, I think, I mean, this year in particular, we've had Brexit, we've had the US elections, we've had Joe Cox, we've had Boris Johnson almost becoming Prime Minister, and then not. We've had Theresa May, David Cameron step down, Donald Trump. All of this happened.
In 1 week, unfortunately.
Yeah, it kind of was. Like, we were like, the last episode in summer, we were already reeling from how much had gone on. Chilcot Report, every week there was something else. Half an hour before going to air, the producer walked in and went, you're not going to believe this, there's been a military coup in Turkey. The president's on Facebook telling people to take to the streets. And we were...
Yeah, but you're kind of going, yeah, no one in England gives a fuck about that. Where? Oh, no, Auntie Mary's on holiday there.
We were updating out of the ad break. So it was all bonkers. And then I think what happened is after Trump was elected, it's almost like everyone's gone, okay, we just need a break for a little while. So last week is the perfect example of sitting there on a Thursday going, so what are people talking about this week? Like, there's nothing... Mm. I mean, there was the football abuse scandal, yeah. But there's no comedy and there's no entertainment in that.
No, there isn't really.
So we ended up going with Fidel Castro, and going, well, let's do just a whole big first section on Fidel Castro. We've never covered a world leader like that before. And the angle was, was he a dictator or should he be, you know, venerated? And there were, you know, world leaders who didn't know how to deal with it. And you had the Canadian Prime Minister saying what a revolutionary orator and larger-than-life figure he was. And then you had other people saying, you can't say that about Fidel Castro.
Well, it's a real mixed bag of opinion about him, isn't it?
Yeah, so we had to then construct a show last week that was, okay, there's nothing urgent in the news that needs to be talked about, so let's go where the funny is. So, yeah, there are some weeks where it's...
But so have you got fallback kind of things to do? In those weeks?
No, really.
So, like, the series ends... how many is in a series?
It varies anywhere between 8 and 14 episodes.
And you were just telling me off-air that you've been commissioned for loads more.
Yeah, 40 episodes next year.
So that's amazing. Well done.
Well, I think...
And have you got your agents up the money?
it's gone up.
Just tell me you're not doing it, Adam. Tell me you're not doing it. 40, no way. That'll kill the guy. He's only got one leg. Come on. Double the money, double bubble, or he's not doing it.
Listen, it was my own fault when they said you're on more for the Paralympics. I thought, well, let's sign him up for 5 years. That's not going to change.
Adam, after 5 years, I swear we're going into double figures. But no, that's great. But so it's...
it is great. But there's...
Well, I hope you keep on enjoying it as well.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's... There is going to be a point next year, I'm sure, where we're going to be coming into work just going, oh, God, here we go again.
I know, yeah.
And what the hardest bit is, sometimes the news, as you well know, is quite cyclical. So you turn up again and go, well, everyone's talking about Brexit again. We're talking about
look
Trump.
At what cyclical means.
It goes in, makes you sick.
But summer, don't do any in the summer. There's no news in the summer.
Well, yeah, you would have thought that. But then this year, that's what we had, 6 summer episodes this year. And that's when we had Brexit. We had the US primaries, we had the Chilcot report, we had Joe Cox being assassinated, which, of course, no one knew was coming. But every week this summer...
One guy did.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we sacked him as a producer weeks before
yeah,
that.
Well, good on you. Yeah. You know, well, he's kind of...
And I think the reason that Channel 4 want us on for 40 episodes next year is that... You just never know when something bonkers is going to happen in the news. And our highest rating episode ever was the one we did the night after the US presidential election, which was also... Okay, so we virtually rewrote that on the day because...
But you have to do a lot of that anyway, in general.
Yes,
don't you?
But... So what
not because the story changes, you're going, we can't do this, this is shit.
There is a lot of that, too.
Because, like, you start on a Tuesday, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're in the... Wednesday and Thursday,
yep.
Finessing the stuff.
Yeah.
And then is it a full day on the Friday? Because that's the thing that annoys me about telly. They make you work the full day. And I know the adrenaline of the live show will keep you going, but you're kind of knackered.
Well, yeah, we usually start work at 12:30 on a Friday.
Oh, that's not bad.
And we're not on air until 10 that night.
But it's so still a long day.
It's like 9.5 hours by the time you go on air. You've been at work already.
I know.
But, yeah, the adrenaline does get you through. But something like the presidential election was an interesting one because... We had to plan not knowing which way the result was going to go. And so we looked at it and went, okay, comedically, for comedy value, the worst case scenario is Hillary Clinton gets in. Because where's the comedy in
it? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So let's prepare for that. So we wrote a show pretty much, I reckon 75% of the show was written assuming Hillary Clinton was going to get in. Because, you know, if you wake up on the day, hey, Hillary Clinton's in, there's nothing funny in that. So we had to really work hard. And we thought, if Trump gets in, this thing's going to write itself on the day. So let's not panic too much about that. So when he did get in, everything had to be rewritten, but we knew it was going to be fine.
Yeah, but you kind of pretty much had it in note form, I take it.
Yeah, it was funny, the day before, I sat with a couple of the writers and I was saying, all right, we should write some jokes. Okay, let's just assume Trump gets in, let's write some stuff. And we did.
Sorry, hang on, there's writers?
There's a couple of writers, yeah.
Sorry, you and the two guys don't write your own stuff?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean...
Whew, that's a bit of a bombshell. You're a lovely fella and stuff, but come on. You're kind of Emperor's New Clothes now, a little
really?
Bit.
Okay, yeah. Well, this
and
is
now
how...
40 new shows coming on. You'd be a busload of new writers coming in. We're here. I know, everyone has writers. People
of course,
don't
yeah, but the way Josh and Alex and I write is that we all sit around a table together on a Wednesday with the writers and Thursday morning. So we have a day and a half where we all just sit around and chip in ideas and we put them up on a board or we you know, write them down in a script. And then Thursday.
You know, there's these things called computers now as well.
Yes, yeah, script on a computer.
All right, okay.
I did the typewriting thing as I.
It was the board that made me think it was paper and stuff.
Oh, no, we do have a whiteboard.
Yeah, no, that helps to have an overlook at everything. Like,
it's good so that everyone knows what's in there. And then Thursday afternoon, we go off our separate ways with our own writers and we kind of come up with our own stuff. But.
Is there any competitiveness?
No, surprisingly so, apparently. And I say apparently because other people have told me they can't believe how. Like, they'll watch us rehearse. And I'll say a joke, and then Josh will say one, and then Alex will say one, and then we'll look.
No,
at
there's
each
great
other
chemistry.
Yeah, but then we'll look at each other and go, "Okay, so on the show, I'll do this, then you do your bit, and then you do yours."
Yeah,
and that way we know you've got the topper.
Sure.
So there is a.
But like, for instance, with your guests as well, I saw the Paxman one.
Oh yeah,
and like, even though he was good value, I thought he was a bit of a dick to you, really.
Excuse me. Most people did.
Yeah.
And I was a bit surprised by that because I knew ahead of time what he was doing, and I think this what wasn't clear. We talked about the Clinton campaign sending along hecklers to the Trump campaign rallies, and he had said off air. He said, "Well, that's just part of rallying. It's part of every gig. I think everything should have a heckler. TV shows, everything. There should be hecklers everywhere. It keeps people on their toes." And he said, I'm going to heckle at him. I'm going to heckle at him during the show.
But it was quite relentless about it. Like, I don't mind if there's one zinger and you go, yeah, fair enough. But, like, he was kind of just poking away. Like, when the first one, he just obviously doesn't know how comedy works. So if you get a zinger, be quiet for a little
bit. Yeah,
rather than going,
I'm
going to do weaker ones now and weaker ones. And Josh kind of egging him on, going, you should be on every week. That's what I meant about the competition.
Right.
I know it's kind of, it's his comedy brain saying that. But that's what I was wondering, was there, you know, that slight, which always happens when, I know it isn't a panel show, but there's that slight ganging up if someone goes for someone.
Yeah.
That always happens.
Which, I mean, that's one of the things about our show, and so many people say after they've come on the show, they're surprised at how generous everyone is for everybody else. The only, interestingly though, you say that, because when comedians are on the show, I think because it's live as well, and you know that any slip up, everyone's going to see. When comedians are on the show, if someone's got, you know, when the person next to you has got a joke, you can just sense it, and you're about to talk, but you can see that gleam in their eye. So as a good comic, you step back and you let them get the joke in. The only person who didn't do that, well, non-comedians don't do that, but Boris Johnson was really interesting in that respect, because there were four or five times where someone else had a joke, you could see, and he could see they were about to say it, but as a politician, he's trained, don't let anybody else get in, just keep talking. And it was really interesting to watch that kind of lack of generosity, lack of comedic generosity that he had.
I think it's probably just he's a bit selfish, really.
Well, I think you're trained as a politician that just ramble, just go off, keep talking, especially on live TV, and eventually they're going to run out of time before they can get to a difficult question.
But listen, Adam, we've talked about the last leg, but what I'd like to do is a second part with just talk about your life. So
yeah, sure.
We'll let people know. So you've been listening to part one of Adam Hills on Under the Radar with Sean Hughes.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.